That is the go along with the sermon song. What a blessing. And then to find out that he was filling in, and God just puts things together. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. While you're turning there, I do want to mention now, I just want to make sure I announced the Shepherd's Picnic on the 23rd, and Luana said that is not happening. Is that true? Does anyone know? That is on hold for now. So that's what the meeting's about. All right, very good. So I'm not so sure about that. I want to make sure you understand that and that that is what the meeting's about. So again, that meeting will be right after the service and then the Lord's Supper and then the business meeting. Then you can go in the teen room, have a meeting while everyone else is eating all the food, and then you can come out and eat the scraps. But anyway, all right, Luke 2, verse 41, one of the amazing stories in the Bible, but a lot of parallels there, and you'll see them. This morning I preached on rivers in the desert, and really tonight is kind of one of the reasons why we may find ourselves in a desert in our lives. And verse 41, Luke 2, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. By the way, there's faithful parents there. That's an important thing. And this is talking about Jesus' earthly parents here. And every year, faithful, every year they did what they were supposed to do. Thank God for faithful people. I was thinking about our orchestra over here. Thank God for people that are faithful. They play in the orchestra. It's not a big flashy thing that they do, but they play in the orchestra. Amen? And praise the Lord for that. Thank God for folks that are faithful. The workers yesterday, the people in the nursery, faithful people. Praise the Lord for that. And Jesus' parents, every year, they went to Jerusalem at the Feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. Can you imagine that? A day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And there's my title, verse 45, they found him not. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching, that you'll speak to our hearts and give us what we need. Challenge us, Lord, as we examine ourselves before we observe the Lord's Supper together. I pray that you will help us bring to mind anything that might be between us. And Lord, that we might get that right so that we can observe the Lord's Supper in the right spirit, the right way. So bless now, this evening, the rest of the service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Can you imagine? That had to be an amazing, amazing sight. Because, you know, obviously we're talking about the doctors, the rabbis. We're talking about Hillel and Shammai and Gamaliel. And, I mean, you know, those that taught Paul, those that, you know, just these leaders, these men that knew their Bible. Here's Jesus. He's 12 years old, and he's talking to them. And maybe Nicodemus was there. And, you know, Jesus is talking to them. And and the Bible says he's hearing them. He's listening to them as they teach the Bible. And then he's asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And so they've talked to him. He's given them answers as well. And they're amazed at that. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now, of course, his father, Joseph, his earthly father, was a carpenter. And they're trying to figure out, wait a minute now. But Mary pondered some things in her heart. And it had to kind of make her remember, oh, yeah, Jesus is different. He's special. And Jesus was, of course, about his father's business. They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart, as she had, of course, at his birth. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And I take you back to verse 45. They found him not. And here they'd gone a day's journey, and Jesus wasn't with them. I wonder how we would feel after a day and Jesus wasn't with us. Now, I'm not talking about our salvation. He said, "Lo, I am with you always." He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." What a wonderful truth is salvation and the eternality of it and how we can't lose our salvation. Praise God. I mean, you need to understand tonight, if you're saved, you're saved. You may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to worry about that. What a blessing it is to know that we cannot lose our salvation. But you know, we can get away from God. We can get away from the Lord Jesus Christ as far as our relationship. And we can be just as his parents were here. I mean, he's 12 years old, his parents. It's a busy place. You've got to imagine all that's going on, the hustle and bustle, the busyness of everything. And in the busyness of that, literally, they lost Jesus. And I'm afraid that a lot of Christians, in the busyness of everything, perhaps they've lost Jesus too. Again, you can't lose him as far as salvation, but you've lost the fellowship. You've lost the preciousness of his presence. You've lost the wonderful time you had with him at other times in prayer. And understand, he never leaves, but maybe we just have too much going on where we don't have that closeness with him again. And I just want to go through this story and just show you some things, point out some things just before we have the Lord's Supper together. Number one, I want you to see the forgetfulness. In verse 43, they fulfilled the days as they returned. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And by the way, they should have noticed right away. They should have known right then. Isn't it sad that sometimes we're not so close to Jesus that when we go off on our own and do our own thing, we don't even recognize it? Isn't it sad that sometimes it takes a preaching service to make us realize that, wow, I used to be close to God. I used to walk with God. There was a time I was abiding in Christ and I was very close. And isn't it sad that sometimes it takes a few days and it takes a preaching service or a revival maybe or listening to a message somebody preaches before we recognize that, hey, something's wrong here. I mean, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They knew not. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they thought he was with them. They said, "Okay, everybody, time to go." And there's people everywhere. And they went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance, the forgetfulness. They literally went a day's journey, and he wasn't with them. Kind of reminds me of the time years ago, Angela was just a baby, and she was in the little car seat in the back seat, and we went to Ponderosa, I believe, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and drove up there, And I let her out, being the good husband that I am, and let her and David out so that they wouldn't have to walk far. And I said, "I'll bring Angela." And I don't know, I was looking for a parking place, and people were being how people are in parking lots. And anyway, I was looking for a parking place, finally got a parking place way out in the parking lot and started thinking about chicken wings, amen, and thinking about Ponderosa's chili that I always used to like a lot, and their potato salad, And of course, steak and whatever else might be there. But anyway, I got out of the car and walked up, and I was all excited and walked into Ponderosa. And Brenda was standing in line there. And she goes, "Honey," she said, "where's Angela?" I know, it's bad, isn't it? And I get reminded of that every now and then. But how do you forget your child? How could you? I mean, sometimes when they get older, you kind of purposely maybe you want to forget them, But I'm just saying, especially as a teenager. But how do you forget your little baby? And by the way, it was hot in the car, and she's sitting in there. And I went to get her, and I said, "That's your mother's fault." No, it's not. But she was fine. Everything was okay. But how do you forget your child? How as Christians do we forget about our prayer time? How do we forget that we have a Bible, which is the Word of God? How do we forget to read it? How do we forget church? How do we forget to live our lives spiritually? How do we forget when he said, "This do in remembrance of me"? How do we forget him? I don't know. They did. Went a day's journey without him. Samson, Judges 16, Samson, he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't know. He kind of forgot what it was like to have the Lord with him. You ever get like that? You know, and we take for granted sometimes. Somebody mentioned this in our men's prayer time. You know, taking for granted what God has done for me. Some little thing, something throughout the week that God did, but I never stopped and thanked Him. Or maybe I did. I just kind of briefly said, thanks, Lord, and walked on and did my thing and kind of forgot what He did. He's still there. He's still God. He's still answering prayer. Oh, it's not something you asked for, but He kept the semi from running over you. Amen. He kept the cancer cell from invading your body. He kept the other sickness from coming. He kept something terrible from happening. I mean, He's protected you. We talked about in the men's prayer time. You know, you say, well, nothing's happened. You ought to fall on your knees and thank God. But see, we just, we forget. The forgetfulness. So many Christians today, we forget. I mean, what a sad discovery that Samson had when he found out all of a sudden, I don't have any power anymore. Where's my power? Power's gone. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. You know, I wonder how many Christians would even recognize it if in fact, Jesus really left. You know, when the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit, who's in the Christians, and when we go up, He goes with us. I wonder how many churches will keep going just like they always went. They might have a few folks missing. They'll wonder. They'll, you know, obviously they'll believe the lie. Right? I mean, it's hard to imagine that. The Bible says here they supposed Him to be with them. They supposed, it says verse 44, but they supposing Him to have been in the company. They suppose, maybe like we do sometimes, well, I go to church. Well, that doesn't mean you're walking with God. Amen. We know there are many, many people in churches all over the world today who went through a lot of motions, maybe knelt at a prayer bench behind the pew, or maybe even at an altar they received the Lord's Supper, or communion as they may call it, and they went through a lot of religious motion, but that doesn't mean the Lord's with them. You know, don't ever think that because you go to a Baptist church, or maybe because you were dunked in a tank, or maybe because you've had the Lord's Supper a lot of times, don't ever think that saves you. Because it doesn't. Don't ever think because your name is on the membership roll at Berean Baptist Church that that saves you. Don't ever think because you've attended all your life that somehow saves you. And certainly, Christian, we cannot think that because we go to church, we have a great relationship with God, because the truth is, they supposed He was there. Well, this independent fundamental Baptist church, I mean, I guess He's in our services. I just assumed He was. When's the last time you begged Him to be in the services? I mean, we're an independent fundamental Baptist family, and we just kind of suppose that He's here in our family. But when's the last time, Dad, you begged Him to be the head of your family? When's the last time we begged Him? Oh, God, we need You. Where two or three are gathered together, You're in the midst. Oh, God, when's the last time we gathered on our knees as a family? When's the last time we got together and begged Him to be with us? Do you know we can't do anything without Him? For without Me, ye can do nothing. As a church, as a family, as an individual, can't do anything without Him. But how many of us are just like Joseph and Mary? We suppose, well, I mean, come on, I'm wearing my suit. I'm in church. We're going to have the Lord's Supper in a little while. Come on, I taught a Sunday school class. Hey, listen, I got a bus route. What are you talking about? No, I went soul winning. I was at the work day yesterday. You can name any name you want to name of work that you did or thing that you did. That doesn't mean you have a good relationship with Him. Not at all. Not at all. They had just had a very religious ceremony, and they supposed that He was with them, but He wasn't. You know, they supposed Him to be with them. The truth is they were busy with their other company. They did not intend to leave Him. They would, look, if you went to Joseph and Mary and said, hey, look, you're going to leave Jesus behind, they'd say, there's no way, we would never do that. Just like me, if somebody would have said, you're going to leave your daughter in the car while you go to Ponderosa and feed your face, I'd say, there's no way, I would never do that, and I was on my way. And you know, there's no way we would ever be convinced that we would just sort of forget about God. There's no way. They're not going to convince. Not us. We're Sunday night people. We're here in church. We're not out here goofing off. I mean, come on. We're the cream of the crop. But the truth of the matter is, don't we get busy with other company too? Sure we do. Yeah, we do. Supposing him to have been in the company. See, they were busy with everybody else that was around them. And it wasn't necessarily bad. Doesn't say they were gambling. Doesn't say they were watching wicked movies. Doesn't say they were at a Christian rock concert or a rock concert or a country concert or whatever concert. Doesn't say they were doing anything bad. In fact, they were at the pastor. They were serving God. But they got too busy. Too busy. You know, Christians can get too busy in the Lord's work and forget about God. Mary and Martha, remember? Mary chose the better part. Where was that? That's with him. As Craig sang a little while ago, hand in hand with Jesus. That's the best part. Now, we need servants. We need to serve God. We need to be busy. Amen. We do. All of us need to. But I'm telling you, folks, we're not going to get anything accomplished without him. Ever. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen in your home. It's not going to happen where you work. It's not going to happen in church. It cannot happen without him. We must be with him. We must have him with us. And they got too busy. Too busy. You can be busy with a lot of things. Busy in the world. Busy in the Lord's work. Just too busy. We need to spend time with him. In Revelation, we're in Revelation chapter 2, talking about how the people, the church at Ephesus, they left their first love. That exciting love, that beginning love, that I want to know everything about you love, that I'm curious, that I want to find out everything that you love and everything you want and everything you desire and I'm yours and I'll do anything. That first love, that initial love, that salvation love at the age of 17 when I called on Jesus and I begged him to come into my heart and save me, and he saved my soul and I couldn't believe it, and the guilt was gone and my sins were gone, and praise God, I knew that I'd been forgiven and I knew that I had a home in heaven. And I said, I want to know everything you've got, God. I want to know all about you. But I'm telling you, folks, I still want to know all about him. Don't cool off. You know, we become professional. God's not so important anymore. We think we know everything we need to know. We don't. And I'm telling you, so many times we get too busy with things, too busy, even in the Lord's work, where we no longer have a relationship with him. The forgetfulness. Number two, we see the fervent search in verse 45. Now they realize that verse 45, when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. I mean, at once, immediately, once they realized they were not going to go one more step without him. They were not going to go another step. That's where we need to be, folks. If you don't have a close walk with God today, if you're not hand in hand with Jesus, if you're not abiding in Christ today, don't go another step without it. Please don't go another step, because it's a futile step. It's a wasted step. Everywhere they go without him, it's a wasted trip. And everywhere I go without him, it's a waste of time. I need him with me every day. I need him with me no matter what I'm doing. If I'm fishing in a boat, I really need him then. Amen, for the walking on water thing that might have to take place. It doesn't matter. If I'm driving somewhere, I need him with me. If I'm sitting at home, I need him with me. If I'm in my office, I need him with me. It does not matter. If I'm around Christians, I need him with me. You do too. You need him at the factory. You need him where you work. You need him around your loved ones. You need him at home. I mean, we cannot do without him. We must at once say, I'm not going another step without him. I'm not going another step. It's like the men that are working with the axe and they're chopping down the trees, the preacher boys, and they're cutting down trees, and all of a sudden the axe head falls off and the axe head goes into the water. And you know, it's hard to cut down a tree without an axe head. And in my mind, I see a lot of Christians with the axe handle trying to chop down trees, and you're not going to do it. And we pray without Him. And we read our Bibles without Him. And we live our lives without Him. And we wonder, why isn't anything happening? It's not happening because you can't chop down a tree with an axe handle. And you go right back where you were when you lost the axe head. And you go right back where you left Him. And Mary and Joseph said, I imagine it might have gone something like this. Joseph said, what in the world did you do with him? And Mary looked at Joseph and said, well, it's your responsibility. He's 12. He's old enough. You're the man. Be a man. And Joseph said, okay. Yeah. At any rate, at once. I mean, they went back at once. Somebody got excited. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. But, there's folks here, honestly, and it breaks my heart because you used to have power with God. You used to have a walk with God, hand in hand with Jesus. You used to walk with Him. You used to have power with God. You used to get your prayers answered. You used to have a good soul-winning ministry where you could talk to people and you knew God was going to take what you said and God was going to use it and people would get saved. You used to be close to Him. You used to talk to Him about everything. You used to wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you spent time with Him and you talked to Him till the tears flowed and you talked to Him about everything and you weren't afraid of anything and you could tell Him what was on your heart. And you can tell to Jesus anything. But it's like Mary and Joseph. You just kind of went on and left Him. But like Mary and Joseph, you can do something about it at once. Right now. And get it right. There is no substitute for a walk with Jesus. Becoming more religious is no substitute. Going to church more often is no substitute. Come on, we're not Roman Catholics. I'll torture myself. We don't believe that. You know, I'll whip myself. That'll do it. That doesn't do anything except put whip marks on you. I'll punish myself. Doesn't help anything. Doesn't do a thing. These folks that cut themselves, it doesn't do a thing. Nothing. It's all satanic. It's not of God. You know, I'll deal with me. You know, but you know what? What you really need to do is get back hand in hand with Jesus. They moved at once, searched at once, and notice they sought sorrowing. They sought. I mean, they missed Him, but it's interesting the way they searched. And the Bible says this. It says that in verse 46, it came to pass that after 3 days they found. I'm sorry, verse 45. When they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking Him. But it says before that, they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. They weren't going to find Him there. They sought Him first where He couldn't be found. You say, well, I'll just get around more Christians. That's not how you're going to find Him. Now, that's not a bad place to be, but you just need to go to Him. You know, well, I'll go to a conference. That'll do it. No, that's not how you... Listen to me. We pray for our teenagers, for God to deal with them at a conference, at a revival, all those kind of things. Truth of the matter is, young person, what you ought to do is get on your knees tonight at this altar, get right with God before the conference ever starts. That's what we all ought to do. I'm always amazed folks will pray for revival. And they'll say, oh, God, revive me next week. Oh, God, deal with me next week. And I think, why not now? Why do you want to wait? You're like Pharaoh, you know. Let me have one more night with the stinky frogs. He wasn't going to be found with the kinsfolk. We sometimes, you know, we think we're going to run with people that they're somehow going to give us something that only He can give. It's not going to be found at a conference, at a pastor school, at a revival. It's going to be found you and Him, hand in hand with Jesus. Amen. And there is no substitute for that. It's not, you know, well, I'll go to Bible college and maybe then God will be close to me. Listen to me. You can be close to God today. You wait. When I graduate from Bible college and get in my ministry, I'll have a relationship. No, you need a relationship today. Oh, when I get on the mission field, I'll know. Before you get on the mission field, hand in hand with Jesus. hand in hand all the way. They sought and tried to find him. The key is, you just need him. You just need him. And every one of us, we need, it's amazing all the things we try to substitute what we know is what we need. And that's a relationship with him, what he can give. You know, any of these meetings that I mentioned that is even worth going to is going to point us to him. Always. Whatever the meeting, revival, pastor school, teen conference, it points to him. Nobody's ever going to get anything accomplished by just being more religious, by just being more involved in church. What you need is you need him. And you need to walk with him and have a relationship with him. Number one is a forgetfulness. Number two is a fervent search. Number three is the finding. Shouldn't be a shock where he was found. The Bible says in verse 46, it came to pass after 3 days. Now again, 3 days. You know, mom's shook up. A lot of things are going on. Of course, they walked a day's journey. They came back a day, and they looked for a day. They're looking. And, you know, honestly, where are you going to find him? Well, the Bible says here they found him in the temple. They found him in the temple. You know, where else are you going to find him? Huh? Where else are you going to find him? You're going to find him in the house of God. You're going to find him where he is. You know, that's where you're going to find him. You know, well, I'm going to go to a Christian rock concert. You're not going to find him there. You're not going to find him. Look, you just go on your knees before him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Get on your face in humility to him and say, God, here I am. I need you. It's not that hard. The house of prayer, that's where you're going to find him. We try so hard to manufacture all kinds of stuff. Really, all we need to do is just find him on our knees in prayer. I've testified before. I one of the most precious times with God. I've met with God in the back of a field before. I met with God in a field one time that was full of snow. And I had a wonderful time with God. I met with God in a drainage ditch one time, hoping that it wouldn't drain. Amen. You know, you can meet with God anywhere, anytime, any place. God's always ready. You can meet with God at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. You can meet with God at lunchtime, supper time, breakfast time. You can meet with God all day long. The main thing is meeting with God. The main thing is, God, I need you. The main thing is, God, I'm a great big nothing who'd like to do something. When? After 3 days. I wonder how much time is wasted as Christians. How much time we waste without his presence. If it's true without him we can do nothing, then wouldn't it be true that our lives are pretty much nothing without him? We need his presence. We need his power. We need to know he's there. You know why some of you are absolutely terrified every time anything goes the way that you don't want it to go or you don't think you want it to go or something? You know why you get so shook up? Because he's not there. Because somewhere along the line, you left him in the temple. I'm telling you, when he's there, you have nothing to fear. Not the storm, not the storm of life, nothing, nothing. What are you doing, Jesus? Well, I'm doing my Father's business. By the way, what else would he be doing? I mean, that is all that he would be doing is his Father's business, because that's what he came to do. You know, what do we expect him to be doing? He's not in the worldliness business. He's in the Father's business. He's in the holiness business. Amen? I mean, his place, where you're going to find him, is he's going to be doing the Father's business, not our own business. That's why a lot of us have problems, you know. Well, I have an agenda that I want to follow here. Listen to me. God wants you to follow his agenda. It's the Father's business, not what I want. It's what he wants. That's how you're going to find him. He's doing the Father's business, you know. Folks were busy yesterday working. Brother Dale, he told me, he said, Pastor, he said it was such a great day. He said there was such a good spirit. There's always a good spirit when you're doing the Father's work. Why? Because he's in the Lord's in the midst. Why? Because Jesus is doing the Father's business. He's interested in the Father's business. It's always a good spirit. Why is there never a good spirit when people gossip? It's not the Father's business. That's why. I mean, it only makes sense. People say, oh, you know, we talked about this and talked about that, and I just had such a bad spirit afterwards. That only makes sense. It's not the Father's business. Some of you, the reason you're such a grouch all the time is because that's the only stuff you hear. You know, and you can't even think straight. You can't even imagine anything being good going on. It's like everything's bad. That's because that's the business that you hang around. But the Father's business, it's good stuff. It always is. It always is. Praise God. And, you know, again, but that's not what I want. Yeah, but it's what he wants. And that's where he is. He's doing the Father's business. Let me close with number four, and that's the following here. And I like this because Jesus, you know, the Bible says that they understood not the saying which he spake unto them as far as the Father's business. He'd be another 18 years as a carpenter. You know, he's going to be another 18 years working with his father and hammering nails and sawing wood and learning all kinds of things like Builder Bill taught and using quality materials like Builder Bill provides and those kind of things. And he's going to be another 18 years. But boy, I'll tell you what, was the message clear or not? He's going to do his father's business. And so the Bible says he came down with them. Verse 51, he followed them, he went with them. They found him, they got him. They took his hand, all right, buddy, you're with us now. And he came down with them and came to Nazareth. And watch this, and was subject unto them. I love that. Isn't that wonderful? Because he is a servant, amen. Didn't he teach that he's a servant? Didn't he show that to his disciples when he washed their feet? Sure he did. And you know what? He wants to serve you and I too. Oh, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But he's also our servant. He wants to serve. He wants to bless. He wants to help. He wants to, you know, but when we seek his face, he says, what can I do for you? Ye have not because ye ask not. And we ask not because we frankly don't know he's not there. Because we're so busy with everything else. Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay this bill? I just don't know what I'm going to do. And maybe he's tugging at us, you know. Hey, you didn't ask. Oh, don't bother me. I'm really concerned about this. Like the disciples when Peter was in jail. Peter got out, said, go tell the disciples I'm out here. And the lady went and she told him, said, hey, Peter's out there. Shh, we're praying for Peter. Leave us alone. We're trying to be spiritual here. That's how we are, isn't it? So many times, it's just exactly how we are. Seek his face. And he wants to answer our prayers. He wants to bless us. He was subject to them. What's that mean? He placed himself at their disposal. The Lord Jesus Christ, he adapted himself to be our Savior and to provide all our needs. Could you imagine that? How you know, that's how we can have a river in the desert. He's our Savior. Who's going to make the river? Well, bless God, I got my shovel. It's going to take you an awful long time to dig a river in that desert. And God just speaks. But you know, as long as we leave him behind, we're missing out. Because he wants to be so available. He wants to answer our prayers. Who is prayer for anyway? Ye have not because ye ask not. But the Bible says he wants to give us richly all things. You and me. Why? We're his children. Mary and Joseph could have gone on without him. A lot of folks do. That's why this room's not full today. Right? A lot of folks do. Christians. They just kind of go on. All right. There's something else going on. We got this going on. Got that going on. This is happening. That's happening. And we got to do this. We got to do that. And we go on. We do our own thing. Go on. Go on. Forget about God's will. Doesn't matter. This is what we want to do. This is more fun. This is more exciting to us. Well, this is where our friends are. That, you know, we're going to do what's fun and what feels better to us and all that kind of stuff, okay? But in the meantime, there's a God in heaven saying, hey, what about me? Mary and Joseph, they could have gone on. They could have gone home. They could have done their thing. And Jesus wouldn't have been with them. But as it was, he was with them. And the Bible says that he was subject unto them. And he wants to make himself available to you and I. He has so much for us. He really does. He has so much for you. I look out, I see young people, and when I see young people, I think there's so much God wants to do for you. So many things he wants to do. I'm just rejoicing. I'm sitting there. Craig gets up to sing. Don says Craig wasn't supposed to sing. Somebody else was supposed to. Craig came up. Craig volunteered. He sang. And he sang a song that just, I mean, he's singing, and I'm thinking, wow, he might as well have read my sermon. But see, God does that. Now, see, to me, that's thanking God for a lot of days over just that one thing, because that's so special to me. To me, that's God saying, hey, I'm still here. I'm still in control of everything. Still got it all taken care of. I know who's going to sing. I know what they're going to sing. I got it all taken care of. It's okay. I got it under control. And he does. And he says, you know what? I'm so available to you. I will answer your prayer. I want to answer your prayer. I want to meet your need. I want to bless you. I want you to say, hallelujah, glory to God. Look what God did. God says, I want to do all that stuff. If your life today is a life where you found him not, as you thought about it, as you think about it, as we're about to have the Lord's Supper and we think about the blood shed, the body broken. You know, if your life is one where you say, you know, I'm kind of looking around in my life, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't really talked to God in a while. I haven't spent much time with Jesus. I'm certainly not abiding. Then tonight, find him. Go back where you left him. Go back where you left him. And it's just a matter of getting on your knees. He's in the temple, place of prayer, and get on your knees and say, God, I want to walk with you again. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one talking. I wonder if there's someone here tonight who'd say, preacher, I'm not even saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anyone at all, pray for me. How many Christians would say, preacher, I am saved. I am a Christian. God's speaking to my heart tonight about something. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. I'm saved. I know that. Thank you. God bless you. Oh, listen, he loves you. He wants to be available to you. Hand in hand with Jesus. Take his hand tonight. Take his hand and walk with him. And walk with him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And talk to him and tell him, pour out your heart to him. And let him be your God. Let him be your Savior. Let him be your servant. Let him put his arms around you and give you that comfort that only he can give. Let him give you his power. Father, please bless the invitation and help us, Lord. To long for your presence in our lives. Help us not to go through the motions another day, but God, to have you in our lives hand in hand. Bless the invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. The ladies' play is you're all on the altar. Tonight is you're all on the altar. God's speaking to your heart. You have something to pray about. You come.